सकर्मदैवेन त्रयोविंशतिको गणः प्रेरितो जनयात्स्वाभिः मात्राभिरादिपुरुषाम्. Principal elements were set in action by the will of the Supreme. The gigantic universal form, or the Vishwarup body of the Lord, came into existence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Virat Rupa, or Vishwarup, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, which is very much appreciated by the impersonalist, is not an eternal form of the Lord. It is a manifested by the supreme will of the Lord after the ingredients of material creation. Lord Krishna exhibited this Virat, or Vishwarup, to Arjuna, just to convince the impersonalists that he is the original personality of Godhead. Krishna exhibited the Virat Rup. It is not that Krishna was exhibited by the Virat Rup. The Virat Rup is not, therefore, an eternal form of the Lord exhibited in the spiritual sky. It is a material manifestation of the Lord. The Arsha Vigraha, or the worshipable deity in the temple, is a similar manifestation of the Lord for the neophytes. But in spite of their material touch, such forms of the Lord as the Virat and Arsha are all non-different from His eternal form as Lord Krishna. 23 principal elements were set in action by the will of the Supreme, the gigantic universal form, or the Vishwarup, body of the Lord, came into existence. In the 6th chapter, as well as the 5th chapter of Canto 3, Srimad Bhagavatam, in much detail, it is being described the advent of Vishwarup, or the universal form of the Lord. When the Lord descends into this material world, it is always for the deliverance of all living entities. The universal form of the Lord is such an awesome, all-including manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which reveals in a most unprecedented way how everything is in Krishna, how Krishna is the source of all that exists within this material manifestation. However, generally, it is impersonalists who worship and meditate on this impersonal form. And the reason is given by Srila Prabhupada in this very illuminating purport, that the devotees, Vaishnavas, are specifically concerned with service to the Lord, with reciprocating love with the Lord. And this type of service is meant for the eternal form of the Lord. The Virat Rupa is a temporary manifestation within this world that serves a particular purpose. At the beginning of creation, He is manifested. And the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is ever existing within the spiritual world. At a particular time, in a particular place, the Lord advents within this material world, but he is appearing in his original transcendental form, as do the various incarnations. Today is Varaha Dwadasi. We will discuss this afternoon, the subject, at more length, one of the great avatars of the Lord. But we should know that it is not that Varahadev simply appears within this material world as a temporary manifestation. Rather, all of these great incarnations have their own Vaikuntha planets in this spiritual sky. And for the purpose of giving their causeless mercy to those suffering in material existence, they appear in this world to fulfill a particular wonderful purpose. And therefore, by meditating and worshipping the form of Varahadev or Narasimhadev, under proper guidance, we can achieve pure, unmotivated love of God. That is the purpose of existence, to come to that stage of unmotivated, uninterrupted loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, we find very, very great devotees who worshipped the various avatars of Krishna in pure love and devotion. Murari Gupta and Sri Vallabha, the younger brother of Rupa and Sanatan, they were very pure, unalloyed devotees of Lord Sri Ramchandra. Venkata Bhatta and his brothers, Trimala Bhatt, Prabodhananda Saraswati. Originally, Chaitanya was so happy to see how they worshipped Lakshmi Narayan in pure unalloyed devotion. Narasimhananda Brahmachari, his name was originally Prajumana Brahmachari, but because of his pure unalloyed devotion to Lord Narasimhadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu renamed him Narasimhananda. Similarly, great devotees of Lord Varahadev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was a little child, the first deity that his father gave him to worship was the deity of Kurma. Bhakti Vinod Thakur wanted to teach Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati that Kurma, this particular avatar, eternal Lord of Vaikuntha, he supports, creates a foundation in one's devotional service. When the asuras and the suras were churning the ocean of milk to try to get nectar, the great, great mountain was a golden mountain, very heavy. The demigods and the demons tried with all of their strength to bring this mountain to the ocean of milk, but they could not lift it. As they were trying to lift it, it was falling on them and crushing them. Their fingers were breaking, their arms were being disjointed. It was impossible. The Lord himself had to come and carry the mountain. When they started to churn, then what happened is the mountain started to sink deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean of milk. And they were trying to stop it with all their efforts, but they could not. So the Lord manifested as Kurma Rupa, beautiful form of a tortoise. And he laid under the mountain. The mountain was on his back. And he used it as a pivot or support, which enabled them to churn and to ultimately get the nectar. Similarly, when we come to Krishna consciousness, the path of bhakti, we want to bring about the manifestation from within our hearts, the nectar of devotion, bhakti rasamrita sindhu. The path of bhakti is like churning the heart. The 9 processes of devotional service can be compared to that. Churning the heart to bring about the nectar that is hidden within it. To bring out the essence of our very existence. However, it's a very difficult task. As we're trying to churn, sometimes we just sink due to our previous conditionings in material life. Therefore, we must have a very strong foundation. So when we worship Kurmadev, Kurmadev gives us a very, very insurmountable foundation that we can build our spiritual life on. Of course, all the avatars are included within Radha and Krishna. If we worship Radha Krishna or Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, then automatically the effects of worshipping all the various devatas is achieved. So the devotees, with great honor and reverence, they understand that these various avatars of Vishnu are eternal personalities that descend into this material world for our benefit. But in relation to the Virat Rupa, this is a material, temporary manifestation. The Virat Rupa, although Krishna enters into it, the Virat Rupa is made of material elements. Whereas Kurmavatar, Matsyavatar, Varaha Avatar, Narasingha Avatar, Vaman Avatar, they are not composed of the 8 elements of material existence. They all have Satchidananda Vigrahas. They are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. They're above and beyond the modes of material nature. They have nothing to do with material existence. In their constitution, they are Bhagwan, pure superior energy, but not like the Jivatma. The Jivatma may be pure spiritual energy, but it's always controlled by either the Lord directly or material existence indirectly. However, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in His various incarnations, in His beautiful transcendental form, He is always the controller of material nature. He never falls under the influence of material nature. Even the Jivatma, the Nitya Siddha, who descends into this world, not because of any type of material conditioning or misuse of independence, but is sent by the Lord just to give mercy to the fallen souls. That Nitya Siddha will never compare himself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is always in the role of the servant of the Lord. He is always, with great humility, conscious of his subordinate position before the Absolute Truth. When the Lord appears in his various incarnations of Vishnu Tattva, this is not like that. He is the Supreme Master of all living entities. He has come to be worshipped by all living entities. And by worshipping this eternal form of the Lord, we are gradually purifying our hearts, and we develop love for the Lord, because that love is dormant within our hearts. And by associating, we gradually awaken that love. Even in this material existence, when we associate with someone who is very attractive, we naturally become attracted. Somehow, you cannot develop attraction without association. You may be associating with your senses, your eyes. You may be associating just by hearing about that person. But somehow or other, through our mind and senses, when we associate with someone attractive, we become attracted. That is our nature. When we associate with Krishna, by seeing his beautiful form, by hearing his glories, by chanting his name, natural attraction. Why is it natural attraction? Because it is within us. It is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is simply uncovered by the grace of Krishna. The Virat Rupa, the devotees, honor it and worship it as a manifestation of the Lord. But at the same time, we do not compare it to the eternal forms of the Lord. Because we know the Virat Rupa is Krishna, but taking on material qualities for his body temporarily, only within the creation. Impersonalists, because they believe that nothing is beyond creation as far as form or personality, they worship the Virat Rupa in order to somehow or other gain access beyond this material existence where there is no form. They know and admit that the Virat Rupa is a temporary manifestation of Godhead. But due to their illusion or Mayavad conceptions, they believe all the various forms of the Lord are temporary manifestations. That form itself has to be a temporary manifestation because there is no such thing as eternal form. So they consider the Virat Rupa in the same way that they consider the eternal forms of the Lord due to their misconceptions of eternal reality. And materialistic people are often asked to meditate and worship the universal form because they're so materialistic. They cannot conceive of anything beyond what their senses can perceive. And it is a way to somehow or other connect their consciousness to what is beyond. You believe in the sun and the moon because you can see it. So you understand that that sun and the moon are the two eyes of the Lord. You believe in rivers because you see them. So you understand and meditate on that these rivers are the veins of the Lord. In this way, it is a way of getting people who are very, very much conditioned by only being able to have faith in what their senses can perceive, they can imagine, according to the Shastra's direction, how it is all a part of, it is all a manifestation of God. So the Virat Rupa has a wonderful purpose to serve within material creation, but the devotees see it in a very different way. The devotees see the Virat Rupa as a temporary manifestation of Krishna. And when they think of the Virat Rupa, they simply think of Krishna playing on his beautiful flute in the forests of Vrindavan, dancing with the gopas, playing with the gopis, giving the ecstasy of love to all the Brijbasis. When we think of Virat Rupa, naturally we think, oh, Krishna has come in this way, just to facilitate material existence. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Srila Prabhupada is very wonderfully comparing the Virat Rupa to the deity that we worship in the temple, the Archa-Vigraha. Krishna is fully manifested in his presence, as far as, not in his original presence, but he is manifested in the Virat Rupa. He enters into material elements. Similarly, the deity, we cannot deny, on one level, it is material elements. When Aurangzeb went to Vrindavan, he was breaking deities. It's not that he was killing Krishna. This is not possible. But the material elements that Krishna entered into in order to reciprocate love and devotion with his devotees and give them a chance to purify themselves, that can be broken on the material side. However, Krishna can enter or leave the deity at any time. That is his free will, because ultimately he is manifested everywhere in one, either by his impersonal energy or by his free will. He can enter by his personal form. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes describe to us how people say that God is everywhere, but they do not believe that God could be in a deity. In other religions, they admit that God is everywhere. And even one very famous, powerful group of religious people, we may say, here in India, they're very much, even though they're Hindus, they're very much against deity worship. They believe God is everywhere. So why do you worship God in this deity? So Srila Prabhupada, when talking to them, he said, if God is everywhere, then is he not in this deity? Is God everywhere except this deity? If he's everywhere except this deity, that means he's not everywhere. So if God is everywhere, you must accept that he's in this deity. Well, if God is everywhere, then why should I limit myself to worshipping this deity? I will worship him everywhere. Srila Prabhupada says, can you see him everywhere? Do you know him everywhere? He has appeared in the beautiful form of this deity because he's merciful to you. God is spiritual. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Only if you have eyes decorated with the salve of love can you see the spiritual. Material cannot perceive spiritual energy. Has no access. The material energy has no means to perceive the spiritual energy. Why? Because they are different, completely different levels of existence. The spiritual energy is not composed of earth, water, fire, air, or ether, intelligence, mind, or ego. And our senses and mind can only fathom what is of its own nature, material. So how can we have access to perception of the spiritual energy of the Lord? We are condemned by our own conditionings to only be able to perceive what is material. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, out of his unlimited, causeless mercy upon us, he agrees to appear within a form that is material so that we can see him, so that we can serve him, so that we can focus our attention upon him, so that we can develop love for him. When Krishna enters into the beautiful deity, and he enters into the deity, especially when the deity is invoked, when the presence of God is invoked by Krishna's bona fide representative, then he agrees to be personally living in that form. And that form becomes non-different than him. It's not that Krishna is in the deity. Krishna is the deity. When Krishna enters the deity form, we should understand that becomes his Satchidananda Vigraha. Temporarily. We cannot say that the marble is eternal. It is a material element. Or the wood is eternal. In Jagannath Puri, every so many years, they take the form of Jagannath And they put him in a body of water, and they make new Jagannath. So we understand that the Jagannath that is put in the water, obviously that wood is not going to last forever. However, Krishna is manifesting within that wood, and for the time he's in that wood is his Satchidananda Vigraha. It is his body, and it is worshipped as his body. And why does he do that? For our benefit. If we do not have faith that the body of the deity is the body of Krishna, it is his eternal form, then we cannot make proper spiritual advancement. Real bhakti means to have this faith. Impersonalists worship deities of the Lord, but they do not have the proper conception. They believe that the deity is material elements. And by fixing their consciousness on this focused and centered meditation of the Lord, they will gradually become transcendental to material elements. However, they do not accept that the deity is actually the eternal form of the Lord, temporarily manifesting for your benefit. Therefore, we should be very careful how we are worshipping the deity. Because although it may appear to be wood or stone, Krishna has assumed that form to be his own. If you accidentally, due to carelessness, prick Krishna or Sri Radharani with a pin as you are dressing, we should not think, well, Radha and Krishna, they are within it, but this is just a piece of stone. We should understand that putting that pin in Krishna, he is feeling your neglect. If we read Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sri Sanatana Goswami, in various forms of puja, we massage the form of the Lord. We massage his feet. Sometimes we massage his legs. We offer nice fragrances. When we offer nice fragrances, Krishna accepts those fragrances. Not only with his nose, but every part of his body can accept what every other part of his body is able to accept. Krishna can see through his ears or hear through his eyes. Krishna can eat through his eyes. He could talk through his feet. He could do anything he wants. He's unlimited. And therefore, when we are worshipping the body of the Lord, we should be very conscious that this is the personal body of the Supreme Absolute Truth. This is Krishna. And because the form of Krishna that we are meditating on, the form of Krishna who has entered into the form of Krishna, into the deity, is eternal, by worshipping the deity of Krishna, we actually develop attraction for the eternal form of Krishna, of the spiritual world. And this way we develop love for Krishna. So we should be very careful in how we worship the deity. The great acharyas have given us many rules and regulations, because these rules and regulations help us to take seriously the reality that Krishna is in the deity. If we worship in a sentimental way, we will not really have the proper approach where we are worshiping and serving the Supreme Absolute Truth. Sometimes we find in very great devotees, they worship the deity in spontaneous love. And they may not be following all the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti that the scriptures describe. However, they are actually in a transcendental ras with Krishna. But until we become so completely purified and Krishna reveals genuinely his own relationship with us and our relationship with him, we must worship the deity with great, great respect and reverence. Why? Otherwise it becomes like idol worship. It becomes whimsical. Srila Prabhupada explained, this is the difference between idol worship and deity worship. Idol worship is sometimes created by the concoction of the mind without scriptural authority. People, by their superstitious or sentimental natures or due to their own motivations, they invent various forms and they worship them for material purposes. However, the deity must be constructed according to the scriptures, and it must be worshipped according to the scriptures. To worship the deity whimsically is also a type of idol worship. If you actually have the consciousness that this is the supreme absolute truth, that this is God, you will be very careful. If a very, very great person, like the king or the prime minister, the president, would come to your home, you would not serve them whimsically. You would be very careful to think, let me make every detail perfect. But what is a prime minister? What is a king compared to Krishna, the king of all kings, the supreme absolute truth? A few years ago in Udupi, they offered Krishna a crown which cost over 1 crore of rupees. It was all made of diamonds and gold. Now, for those of you who have been to Udupi, Krishna is not so big in size. He's beautiful, perfect size, but not so large by material standards. Although he's bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest, in this form the deity is very beautiful, about the size of a child. So they made such a beautiful, beautiful crown. It cost over 1 crore of rupees. At that time, a crore of rupees by foreign currency exchange, it was about $400,000. For a crown and some earrings. So people were criticizing, why are you spending so much money for a deity? Why don't you use that money to feed poor people? Why don't you use that money to heal sick people? Why don't you use that money to give housing to homeless people? God doesn't need that. So one of the very, very learned acharyas of the Udupi Math, Palimar Math Swami, he explained very nicely. He said, in your country, you have a prime minister. And just for the security of the prime minister, how much do they spend? Practically anywhere he goes, they spend a crore of rupees. They have to have so many secret agents and so much security and CIA, CID, whatever they are, I don't know. But they're all around, they're blocking the roads, they're making so many arrangements. Just by blocking the roads for the president to just drive, it's costing lakhs and lakhs of rupees of people who cannot do their business properly. And wherever he goes, he has his own personal jet. He doesn't go by Indian Airlines, Jet Airlines. He has his own private jet. Just for the security of the Prime Minister, he said, you are spending crores and crores a month, lakhs and lakhs a day. And he's just one little Prime Minister of one little country and one little planet. Krishna is the supreme king of all planets, of all existence. To spend one crore on Krishna in a year is insignificant. To spend one crore of rupees a second on Krishna is insignificant. Consider all the prime ministers and all the presidents and all the heads of states in the world. How much you think the world spends on them? Dozens of crores a day. But they are all insignificant little specks. Krishna is the supreme. He is the king of all kings. And no one could argue with this logic. And if you water the root of the tree, automatically every part of the tree is nourished. If you water the root of the President of the United States, besides him and maybe his wife, nobody's nourished. Nobody's nourished at all. And yet so much money is being spent on them. But if you offer worship to Krishna, everyone is nourished. Everyone benefits. Everyone makes advancement when Krishna is worshipped nicely. So of course Srila Prabhupada warned us, do not in our temples offer too many valuable things to the deities, because it will attract thieves. Hare Krishna. So we keep things simple. The ornamentation is bhakti, devotion. In that way. However, the practice of following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, keeping ourselves very pure, chanting particular mantras, performing every ritual according to the authorized process, no speculation, that help us understand the seriousness of what we're doing. We're personally rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's non-different than the deity, whose body is non-different than him. When we come into the temple, we should understand that Krishna is watching you, whatever you do. And anything you say in this temple, he's hearing with those ears. Actually, Krishna's watching you everywhere. And Krishna's hearing you everywhere. Anything you say, even if you lock the bathroom door and turn out the lights, Krishna sees what you're doing and hears what you're saying. He even hears what you're thinking. He's the Paramatma in your heart. But unfortunately, because of our conditioned nature, we are not aware of this. But when we come in the temple and we see Krishna's eyes, we realize he's looking, he's watching. Other places we forget that he's watching, but when we come in the temple, Krishna's looking at me. And when we see his ears, we think, Krishna can hear. So the deity of the Lord makes it very much conscious within our hearts that we are in the presence of God. And by reciprocating with that presence, gradually we become aware that Krishna is everywhere. Not as an impersonal energy, but his personality is so transcendentally beautiful in its unlimited aspect, that it can, that Krishna can hear me, Krishna can see me, Krishna knows everything about me wherever I may be. Therefore, let me always worship Krishna. Let me always be faithful to Krishna's desires in every aspect of life. That consciousness is manifested through the training of worshiping the deity. We learn how to deal with Krishna in a personal way. Unless we approach Krishna in a personal way, he will not reciprocate in a personal way. And therefore, real love, real bhakti cannot come about. Unless we accept that Krishna is eternally a person, and that eternal person is appearing in his various transcendental manifestations. Sound is a material element. It is carried by the ether. Each of the material element has its quality. Sight is the quality, is the material quality, which reciprocates with the eyes or with fire. Taste, the sense of taste is a material element that is in reciprocation with water. Smell, the earth. Sound, the ether. So sound is material. Kalikale namarupe Krishnavatar. But Krishna incarnates within the sound of his name, like a deity. We can see the deity. We can see God when we see the deity. But all the opulences of God are within that deity. And he can manifest all of his opulences in the form of the deity if we see him with love and devotion. Similarly, Krishna is manifested within the material vibration of sound. Therefore, it is no longer material. It is transcendental. It is spiritual. Because Krishna is incarnating and revealing himself through the holy name. We can taste Krishna in prasad. Krishna enters into that prasad. So with this understanding, we may think, then better I fast. How can I put Krishna in such a dirty place as my mouth and chew him? Chew him. Crush him. And then swallow him. And then turn him into stool. Hare Krishna. Better we fast till death. However, we must understand how to reciprocate with the Lord in his various merciful manifestations by his instruction. Krishna is none different than prasad, but Krishna orders us, eat prasad. Go ahead and eat this prasad. This is how you can show your love for me, by eating me. It is my desire. So we eat prasad to our full satisfaction, knowing that this is Krishna. How merciful. He's appearing in my mouth and getting all chewed up just to deliver me from the cycle of birth and death, just to give me love of God. The energy of Krishna's mercy is within the prasad. That energy of his mercy is his personal mercy. We should not think we are eating Krishna. We should think we are accepting the mercy of Krishna, which is fully saturating. So how to worship the deity, how to take prasad, how to chant the holy names of the Lord. If we actually want to experience Krishna, we have to do it under the rules and regulations according to Krishna's instructions. And then we become purified. By that association with Krishna, we become, as Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna-ized. What is that one story where a man passed stool and he just thought this stool is abominable? So he started going away. He said to the stool, "You are abominable, I'm going away." So the stool spoke to the man. Stool said, "Don't call me abominable, you're abominable. I was in delicious samosa before I associated with you." Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, here in the purport that Prabhupada says that the deity is a material form of the Lord and it is for benefiting the neophytes. So, of course, we also see that great Vaishnava saints like the six Goswamis, Loknath Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they were very eager to worship the deities. In fact, they were intense desire. So, how do we understand both these things?
The deity is especially required to be worshipped by the neophyte to bring about that understanding of how we can practically engage our mind and senses in the service of the Lord. However, in the advanced stage, we actually see the deity as none different than Krishna with realization. It is not that we stop the deity worship. It is not that the worship of Archavigraha is only for neophytes. It is required for the neophytes. For the advanced devotees, they do it with spontaneous love, not because they require it. We find all of our great acharyas worship deities. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every single day, he would be in the Jagannath temple early in the morning. As soon as the conch shell would blow, he would immediately run for the temple of Jagannath just to worship Jagannath Dev. Gadadhar Pandit, Sri Radharani herself, worshipped every day with such attention and devotion the deity of Tota Gopinath. Sri Pad Ramanujacharya worshipped with such attention the deity of Sri Ranganath in Ranga Kshetra. Rupa Goswami, he worshipped Radha Govinda, Sanatan Goswami, Madan Mohan, with pure unalloyed devotion. They do for two reasons. How much Madhavendra Puri? What kind of a saintly person was he? We can never understand. According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, only Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Madhavendra Puri could understand a particular verse that Radharani was chanting in separation from Krishna. What an exalted soul. But how much he worshipped Gopal, the deity. When Gopal told him, "I'm hot, bring me sandalwood," he was willing to risk his life and walk thousands of miles just to bring sandalwood back for the deity. He is the topmost Paramhamsa. Even the Lord worshipped him. They do for two reasons. One is because they actually see Krishna in that deity and how Krishna is so mercifully manifesting in this form just to accept my worship. So they want to worship with everything, with unalloyed devotion. That is the internal reason. And also, they worship the deity because what great men do, common men will follow. Yadyaracharati svestas tad evetadochana. To teach us the importance of deity worship, they do it themselves. If such a great personality is doing it, how much I must do it? Hare Krishna. One more question.
Krishna manifests himself in the material element earth as the Archavigra, and he manifests himself in the material element ether as the holy name. So Krishna's manifestation as Archavigra is considered to be temporary. So why do we consider the holy name to be eternal?
The deity is also eternal. We accept the deity also as eternal. The particular form may be temporarily manifested, but the deity is eternal. Krishna is eternal, and that deity has become none different than Krishna. Golokera premadana harinam sankirtana. Krishna has descended within the sound of his name. Therefore, this holy name is completely transcendental. However, it is appearing in a way that we can hear with material ears. That means it is within the material elements, but it has completely spiritualized that material element, just as the deity. Is that clear? You cannot hear anything but material vibration. But just like a deity, Krishna has fully manifested himself with all his opulences within that vibration. Therefore, he has spiritualized what is ordinarily considered to be material. It is a pure sound. However, Krishna reveals himself as we approach him. Any other questions? Yes. Madhusudan is very eager to ask this question. Hopefully it will be a good question.
Maharaj, when Muslims have invaded India, they destroyed many temples as well as deities. And one common allegation that was raised at that time and still prevalent in India is, if God cannot protect his own deities and temples, how come that it is to be believed that that is an authorized one, and how can he protect his devotees? And this has led to many believing and even still believing that it is probably imaginary. So how to revive the confidence that
through knowledge, by knowledge which is like light, the darkness of ignorance is destroyed. We must understand how Krishna is appearing within the deity. They cannot destroy Krishna. Krishna is entering within this world in the deity form just to reciprocate with our love. But if we want to make offenses to the deity, he will also reciprocate with that. So when these very cruel people came and they tried to destroy the deity, then what do you think? They're not killing Krishna. Krishna comes to this world to accept however we approach him. But he will reciprocate with them. And how he will reciprocate with them? You destroy Krishna, Krishna will destroy you. Of course, you're not destroying Krishna, but it is your intention to destroy Krishna. Krishna is indestructible. So in the form of the deity, Krishna accepts whatever we do. You can go on the altar and make 100 offenses, and Krishna will just stand there and reciprocate with your offenses. You can offer him pure unalloyed devotion. If you break the deity, Krishna will reciprocate. The deity is simply accepting whatever anyone in this earth wants to do with him. That's how the deity appears. That is his mercy. He appears in a helpless condition to just accept whatever way we approach him. But he will also reciprocate accordingly. He is the all-powerful, all-pervading, all-knowing personality of Godhead. And you can do what you want. You can also curse the holy name. Correct? You can curse the holy name. That doesn't mean Krishna is not in his name. It means Krishna will punish you according to your misbehavior. So if we understand this, we will make advancement. If we do not understand this, we will destroy our own lives. If someone is so demoniac that they want to think that they're killing God by breaking his deity, Krishna will let them do it. He's not killed. He will let them kill that temporary manifestation that he is within. He'll leave it before. However, Hare Krishna, they have to accept the reaction. And it's a horrible reaction. In the Garuda Purana, it is described, if you wear the wrong types of clothes in the deity worship room, you get leprosy in a future life. Hare Krishna. What to speak of breaking a deity? Can you imagine what kind of reaction there will be? Because people are ignorant, they do not accept the authority of the Holy Scripture. With their own atheistic or sectarian imagination, they are thinking something else. If God cannot protect himself, how will he protect me? God appears in the deity so that you protect him. If he can protect himself in that form, there's no need for us to do anything. Does God need you to cook for him? He accepts the deity form and he's hungry until you cook for him. Does God need for you to bathe him? The deity accepts a completely helpless position just to accept our worship. He doesn't need any of it. We must protect the deity. It is our duty, sacred duty. We should lay down our life to protect the deity. Krishna doesn't need protection, but he's putting himself in this position just so that you can do this service. But if someone wants to do a terrible disservice, Krishna also allows that. And he reciprocates in a positive way by our positive service, and he reciprocates in a very negative way by our negative service. Negative disservice. Hare Krishna. Does that answer your question? Yes.
But is there any difference between the self-manifested deity which manifests to Goswami, say, for example, Radha Govindji, and the deity which is sacred in Jaipur, and then we worship like Radha Gopinath? Is there any difference, and if yes, what is the difference?
There is no difference. Except Krishna is full of transcendental variegatedness. In different forms of the deity, Krishna reveals certain transcendental aspects of his personality in unique ways. When we become very, very spiritually advanced, we can recognize these things. In Vrindavan, Krishna was Krishna, but he revealed different aspects of his all-attractive personality to different devotees in different ways. So similarly, each deity is Krishna, but revealing a particular, unique, and wonderful aspect of His Supreme Personality to His devotees. So in that sense, there is difference. But it is the same Krishna. It is not that one, it is not that old deities that are self-manifested are more Krishna than new deities that are installed by a great devotee of the Lord. It is the same Krishna. And it is not the age of the deity that is going to determine your spiritual advancement. It is the surrender and devotion in which you worship Him. Does that answer your question? So the sense of when we go to Jaipur and see the original deity of Radha Govinda, or Radha Damodar, or we go to Vrindavan and we see the current deity, or we come to Radha Gopinath temple to see Krishna is the same. Krishna is identical. However, there is a certain enrichment of the heart to experience that this is exactly that form of Krishna that Srila Rupa Goswami personally served and worshipped. That gives a certain nectar to our experience of seeing the deity. However, it is not that that deity is more Krishna than another. It just gives that special feeling. This deity was personally installed by Vajranava. This deity was personally discovered and worshipped by Srila Rupa Goswami or Srila Sanatana Goswami. So that experience is there when we see that. However, we should know that the Madan Mohan that is in Vrindavan is exactly identical as far as the personality as that in Karoli or Jaipur. And we will make as much spiritual advancement by worshipping either one. But still, that experience is something wonderful. It is a type of variegatedness within bhakti. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple. All the deities of all the creation are within each deity because it's Krishna. But Krishna, according to how we serve, He reciprocates and reveals Himself. Srila Madhavendra Puri, because of how he surrendered and served Gopal, wherever he was seeing Gopal. Even when he was visiting other temples and other places, he was feeling separation from Gopal. He knew that Krishna is much in this deity as in Gopal, but still he was feeling separation for Gopal. If you travel all over the world and see so many temples, hopefully you will feel separation from Radha Gopinath. Now those deities are as much Krishna as Radha Gopinath. There's no difference. But because you are worshipping with a certain devotion, He's reciprocating, He's attracting you in this form. It's variegatedness. The variegatedness of bhakti or love.
Maharaj, from the question that Siddhama Prabhu asked and your reply just now, extending this to the deities that we have at home, the difference is normally when we come to the temple, whenever we enter into the temple room, we pay obeisances and we come and have a look at the deities and take their darshan. But this, at the time, at home we don't normally do all these things. So are we committing any offenses at home when we don't do all these things?
It depends what else you're doing. Or not doing. The deities in our home are not installed deities. However, to the degree you offer care and reverence to them, to that degree they will reciprocate and reveal devotion in your heart. If you do not act properly before the installed deity in the temple, it is an offense. If you do not act so properly in your home, it will not be considered such an offense, because you have not made a vow to Krishna. That the vow has, whether you make it or somebody else makes it, the vow is there, that there will be proper behavior for his service. So it will not be that there is such offense. However, Krishna will reveal himself according to the care and attention. If you just treat the deity at home like an idol, he'll just appear to you like an idol. If you recognize that he's Krishna and you do proper respect and you do properly bow down, you do properly, to the degree you do, Krishna will reciprocate and purify your heart through the form of that deity. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.